Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course, this is one of our special editions for this year's what many call African Black Women's History Month. And we have a lot of good information for you tonight. It's just kind of ironic that so many things are beginning to come together. You know, the connections, the links are really beginning to connect in such a way that we are beginning to see some real progress, some real kinds of activities that are happening that is geared to bring us forward as a people. And, of course, with that said, again, this being what is known as Women's History Month, and with that, of course, we focus on African women, Black women's history. Well, you know, there's a lot going on and all over the country, all over the world, really. And I'm saying that as it pertains to women at this point, since, again, this month is that kind of a month, but what we're going to talk about tonight, family, is quite a few things. Again, it's all connected. We're going to talk about human rights. We're going to talk about, of course, this thing that we know or call as slavery. It has had such an impact, such a horrible kind of dynamic on our people that we are still suffering from and trying to recover from. And certainly that is more than a notion, but it has to be done. And some of us look forward to getting the work done that is required in this day and age in order for us to not only heal, but also to obtain real justice. And that, of course, is what we now must do. Simultaneously, as we talk about healing, as we talk about moving forward, we must also make certain that we are able to obtain real justice. So with that said, we again are going to connect some of the dots. And with that said, we're talking about making certain that we look at the past and, of course, connect that to the present, but also certainly look at how we are going to secure and move forward into the future. So with that said, tomorrow is the commemoration a commemoration day that has been occurring at the UN for a few years now. And that particular day is a day of remembrance. It's a day of remembrance of slavery and also of what is known as the transatlantic slavery or slave trade. So March 25th is what is known in the UN in terms of those nations that are connected to the UN, and not just those nations, but, you know, groups, organizations, or whatever, observe March the 25th as the commemoration International Day of Remembrance of Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. I'm sure many didn't know that because this is not information for some strange reason that tends to get circulated into our communities the way that it needs to be. And so this is why we do our program here at New Day, and that is to make certain that, you know, we can be that kind of connecting force that makes certain that we're able to get information on all levels, things that is relevant to us, for us, and certainly those things that are going to help liberate us, be it mentally, be it spiritually, and be it physically. That's the kind of work and that's the kind of focus that we have. So again, tonight we're going to talk about tomorrow. At the UN, there is an unveiling of what is known as the Ark of Return. And this will be a monument that will be a ongoing fixture, ongoing exhibition at the UN. People can go anytime to see it, or whenever when it's open, that is, can go see it. And it's a very important step in not only remembering slavery, but also to keep folks, shall we say, constantly aware that this has happened, and unfortunately, is still happening. And we're going to talk more about that as well, because, you know, human trafficking is still going on in many countries. And guess what? Right here in the U.S. as well, there are degrees and levels and actual actions of human trafficking going on. So we're going to talk more about that a little later on as well. And let's see. Right about now, we are going to, we're having a little technical difficulty here, so hopefully we are not going to have a whole bunch of problems with that. But nevertheless, there is a sister that we think we're going to have on a little later on as well, who's going to tell us about an event that she is having this Saturday. That's one of the other things that we want to talk about. But, oh, here's the question while we're waiting for the architect, the designer of the Ark of Return. His name is Rodney Leon, by the way, and he has a firm in the New York area. And you're going to be, I think, very interested in knowing some of the other exhibits or some of the artwork that this brother has, brought about. So we should be hearing from him very shortly. And also, before we do that, the question for tonight is, what nation has the United Nations deemed as one of the most cited for human rights violations against women? Now, by any chance, does anyone know what nation that is? I'm going to open up the mics for you all to see if someone is aware of what nation that the United Nations has said is one of the most cited ones for human rights violations of women. So let's see if anyone can come up with the answer to that question. I was a little surprised to see and to hear what nation that was, given the fact that, there's always a lot of information put out there about other, things that are going on in other countries, even before, of course, Somalia and other locations. We oftentimes hear of the different things that are going on there. But when it comes to the United Nations. Well, something's going on here with our technology. Let me just check and see what it is that's happening. I'm trying to, hopefully it's not anything that is too, we see what it is. All right, hopefully we're able to rectify the problem, but we still aren't able to bring in our clips. So, okay, let's try to do that. We had some clips for you we wanted to play, but sadly enough, we are not able to connect to that. But at any rate, going back to the question, if you know what country it is that has been cited for the violations of women, or one of the countries or one of the nations that has the most violations of women, then what we'd like for you to do is to press 1 now. And let's see if you know who or what country that is. All right. Nope. It doesn't look like we're finding anyone that knows. All right. Well, since we don't have anyone coming in that seems to know what the answer is, I will tell you. It is Israel. That's right. It is Israel. It appears that I'm going to pull this up for you. It appears that very recently it had come from the United Nations, and it says that the UN's Commission on the Status of Women released 9 official documents over the course of the annual meeting this past week, because, this week, past couple of weeks, actually, there has been several meetings, at the UN, with this, again, the Women's History Month and the 20th year observance of the Women's Conference in Beijing, China. Anyway, moving along, it says only one of the UN's 193 member nations was signed out for a reprimand, and that was Israel. Okay? So it goes on to say that rather than focus on the rampant female genital mutilation in Somalia, or in Saudi Arabia's treatment of women as second-class citizens who can't even drive themselves to the hospital, the UN took aim at Israel in a report titled Situation of and Assistance to Palestinian Women. The report claims that Israel's occupation of the West Bank for high levels of unemployment and poverty amongst Palestinians that hit women especially hard. The World Economic Forum report on women's political empowerment worldwide, Israel ranked 49th worldwide compared to the U.S. at number 54. Majority Muslim nations, including Egypt, Yemen, Qatar, and Iran, dominated the bottom of the ratings. Days before the end of the conference, Annie Blocksky, director of the Torrey College Institute on Human Rights and the Holocaust, lambasted the UN for singling out Israel. And she wrote, "Not Syria, while government forces routinely employ rape and other sexual violence and torture against women as a tactic of war, not Saudi Arabia, where women are physically punished if not wearing compulsory clothing, not Sudan, where domestic violence is not prohibited, there is no minimum age for consensual sex, not Iran, where every woman who is registered as a presidential candidate is the last election, and the last election was disqualified." So she then reports that Israel's foreign ministry described the UN as yet another testimony to the hypocrisy of UN members. So that is the report. And again, we found it very interesting that, Israel was cited as one of the, the countries who implements quite a bit of human rights violations of women. What do you think about that? Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, hopefully we will be ready to talk to you all and certainly to talk a bit with our guests for tonight. And let's see. We're going to try to, again, play a clip. It doesn't seem like it wants to play. Family, we are having some technical difficulties again tonight, and you all know how that can be, so please bear with us. It seems like our boards are frozen for some reason, and that does happen. So we're going to have to maybe not take the break yet because we cannot access the board to bring you the piece that we wanted to bring you. Okay, let's do this. I see we have our sister Iya Ajwa in queue, so maybe I can bring her in for a moment to give us a kind of an update on some of what she might be working on now while I try to resolve this matter with the board. Let's see if we can bring her in for a quick minute. Hey, Sister Iya Ajwa, can we talk with you for a few moments? Okay. Yeah. I was hoping we could grab her real quick, but maybe. Yeah, again, we're having some real interesting problems here with these boards. So, I'm not sure how we're going to resolve this. Let's see. All right, family. It seems like we are definitely having some technical issues here. So, please bear with us. We are going to try to resolve them as best as possible. And that is what goes on with technology. So I'm going to try to take this break real quick and try to figure out how to unfreeze our board. So please kind of bear with us for a moment. Wow, this is really interesting. It seems like all of our, we have several computers here, and all of them are kind of acting crazy. So please bear with us. Thank you.
All right, family. Unfortunately, we are having some technical difficulties tonight, and it seems like we're not going to be able to bring you the initial broadcast that we wanted to bring you. Our boards are frozen, and we're not able to access some of the numbers. We are trying to resolve this, but it's not letting us do so. So what it seems that we're going to have to do is reschedule this program for tonight. I'm going to have to get with the artist to see when we can get him on. Okay, let's see. I guess right about now what we can do, if there's any information that any of you might have for us for tonight that you may want to share, you can push one now. We can at least do that, I think, with the person that we have in queue at this point, but it seems like we are unable to connect to the other callers that we wanted to have access to. So again, if there is something you may want to share with us for now, then please press one now and we will bring you in. But unfortunately, we're going to have to reschedule this program for tonight until we can deal with this technology that apparently needs to be serviced or something, because we're having some problems with our boards. Okay. All right, we have one caller here, and we're still working on it, family, so hopefully we can resolve it, but it doesn't look like it. Okay, we're going to go to caller at 5301. We're going to open up your mic. If you have some information or something you want to share with us, please feel free to do so while we try to figure out how to unfreeze our board. Caller at 5301, your mic is open.
Peace, sis.
Greetings.
It's Brother Wale.
Hey, Brother, how are you?
Great.
Good.
I'm tuning
good.
In this
good
evening.
Good to hear you back. Good to hear you back. I called you and was trying to make sure that you all made it back to me, okay?
Yeah, good to be back. I was having phone problems, phone complications the whole time I was on the trip. So,
You definitely know how that is. We got some phone complications right now. And literally, they were shutting down the airwaves.
And we had most of the time we had no communication via the phone.
Wow.
Or internet access.
And this was coming, of course, from the Alabama area? From Selma.
Yeah. Selma. It was times during the march and the bridge crossing that they shut down all internet access and telecommunication. Days. Yes. It was ridiculous. So, it's definitely good to be home and good to be back. I wanted to tune in and listen to the International, as you say, the International Day of Recognition of the slave trade and the transatlantic slaves.
It will be happening tomorrow, actually. And again, it would just be, for us not to be able to make the connection that we wanted to make with the artist. He was scheduled to call in, and we're having some problems with our boards. The artist who has a firm in New York, they're going to unveil it tomorrow. Tomorrow is what is known, actually, as the International Day of Remembrance of Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. So, this monument is going to be kind of a fixture there now to make certain that, people remember what has happened and certainly what could happen.
Yes, and we definitely need to remember, because we don't need to forget, and we don't need anyone else to forget what has happened to our people. I'm glad you brought that to our attention, sister, because I'm sure a lot of people are unaware of tomorrow being international, a recognized international day.
Isn't it interesting, brother, that our so-called elected officials and leaders and all of that, they don't make sure that we get this kind of information. You know, and I'm really kind of wondering why, because also beginning, I think it was January 1st, kicked off the decade for African people. That too was issued from the UN. A whole decade in recognition of African people worldwide.
And we weren't made, and we were not made aware of it.
They do
their best to hide the information that our people really need to be aware of in today's times. You know, they suppress a lot of information. They don't want it to reach the masses of people. They don't want to wake the people up.
You know, brother, that's obvious. You know what? It's okay, because we're gonna wake up anyway. It's like just a force in nature is starting to come into existence. So it seems like that's gonna happen regardless.
And they cannot stop it. Not at all. And we're continuing to do the work as we wait. Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, I was going to say the other thing I wanted to mention is I just got word a little while ago, but we don't have the location yet, but the word came in that there's going to be services for Dr. Ben this weekend coming in New York. So it seems like tomorrow we'll be able to give folks the actual location, but it appears that Sunday will be the going home services. So I just wanted to put that out there because I just got that a little while ago.
Yeah. Rest in peace to Dr. Ben, great and wonderful teacher. You don't have
absolutely.
He's going to be completely missed.
Absolutely. So, Brother Wally, while we have you, tell us a little bit about your experience in Selma. I know we talked briefly when you were, you know, still there, you and Brother G. Law, and I could tell that was really something that kind of had a lasting impression upon you.
Yes. It was a trying time. But a wonderful experience, say that, for it to have been the 50th year anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. It was a beautiful turnout. The unity of our people, not just at march time, or just at certain celebration time. It was good to come together with brothers and sisters who were speaking and thinking about the same issues. Like I said before, it wasn't, you know, of course, we was talking about, or the people were talking about civil rights, but us on the ground were talking about human rights. And especially in today's time, being the 50th year anniversary, we really didn't make it too far. 50 years, you would think a lot more progress would have been made. But in Selma, it is still, how can you say, it's still a lot of racism, a lot of prejudice. We experience a lot of hate. We got KKK messages and flyers and we even went to the courthouse, Selma Courthouse. The police station is in the same building. And the KKK had placed flyers on the poles outside of the police station in the courthouse with Martin Luther King's picture on it. They called him a communist. And for it to have been the 50th year anniversary of the march from Selma to Montgomery, it shows that the people, again, are alive and well and waking up and paying attention. But at the same time, as we rise, the crab mentality still exists. And you have those who are looking to pull us back, pull us down, and try to get in our way from accomplishing the type of things we want to accomplish in the human rights world, in respect for not just civil rights, but human rights, and respect for the women, respect for the children. What I can say is one thing: the difference between 1965 and 2015.
Okay.
The turnout was probably, I don't know the exact numbers. They didn't give us the official count. We heard anywhere that it was about 100,000 people on the bridge, which was a good turnout from 1965. It was about, double, triple the numbers.
Wow. Well,
you
know what we found interesting in some of that is it seems like people don't realize that police brutality, for lack of a better terminology, or what we now call police and governmental terrorism, that this is what was going on then, 50 years ago. So for folks to kind of be all upset now, as if this just started, I mean, it doesn't make sense. These people are historically known, documented to literally beat us. I mean, in the streets with their clubs to, put fire holes on us, to put dogs on us. And nowadays, we start sending out tanks, riot gear, gas, all kinds of stuff. And we act like this just started, like, last year.
Right. It's nothing new. And the problem now is it only seems like it's getting worse.
Yeah. Especially, again, given the fact that they now using biological warfare. So, definitely getting worse. Definitely getting worse.
It's the same genocide taking place. It's the same gentrification you talk about. The same denationalization of our people. And the police brutality I witnessed in Alabama, I witnessed that it still exists down there, not just down there, but in the world. I never experienced, I can say this, I never experienced the type of racism up here and up north as I experienced down there in the south. A lot more hatred down there.
It's more in your face. It's more evident, right, than here.
I mean, literally in your face, anytime you can walk around and be subjected to the images that we were subjected to and had to witness and experience, the treatment that we experienced, And to witness, you know, KKK flyers bearing the image of Martin Luther King and still speaking in a derogatory nature of such a great man.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to show you that that hatred, that the prejudice, that racism, it still exists. And it's a stronghold because now they're recruiting. These were recruitment letters. These were save the land, join the Klan. The KKK wants you. That type of mentality. So, you know, it just goes to show you where their minds are at and what their intentions are.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We even got.
You know, go ahead, Reverend.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, I'm saying we just got a call in from the artist, so they're going to try to call in from another number. I just want to make everyone aware of that, so hopefully we'll be able to connect. But Brother Wally, I want you to stay right there. I want to bring a sister in briefly because she's having an event on Saturday, and I just want to make sure she's able to share her information. So you stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to come right back to you. And family, please bear with us. It seems like we might be able to get the artist on in a few moments. I just talked to him on my own phone, so they're going to try another line to see if we can get them in. So right now we're going to go take a few moments and talk with Sister Crystal. And Sister Crystal, we're going to bring you in to share your information with us about the upcoming event that you have this Saturday. So, Sister Crystal, your line is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Well, my organization is known as Eyes Like Mine Incorporated,
mm-hmm.
and we are having our first year anniversary on this Saturday to celebrate the different accomplishments we have achieved throughout our first year as an organization, which supports people who are vision impaired or blind, whether they're newly vision impaired or blind, or who have just begun to adjust to vision loss. And the Saturday event will be at the Diamonds in the Rough Cafe at 71 Clay Street in Newark, downtown Newark area, not too far from Broad Street Station. It will commence at 4 p.m., but anyone who is wishing to attend, I recommend that they come at least by 3:45. We're expecting to fill the house, and it will be over at p.m. Our theme is an interesting theme, and we labeled it A Taste of Darkness. It is symbolic to the immediate reaction you receive when you begin to lose your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an awareness event for people who are sighted, who may have or may have not come to understand what it's to be vision impaired or blind.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as our guests arrive, they will receive altered sleep shades that will represent different types of vision conditions, whether it's macular degeneration, through pinholes in the sleep shades, tunnel vision, retinitis pigmentosa, and all different kinds of vision conditions people either acquire or they receive from some kind of hereditary background. And, you know, they won't be totally blacked out, so it won't be like a traumatic experience, but it's all about the awareness of what it's like to live with vision loss. There'll be local performers who are blind or vision impaired. There'll be very influential speakers who have helped with the progress of technology and research for people who live with vision loss. And we're just expecting to have a really great time. There'll also be a showing of a documentary I did last year in August, where I interviewed several different vision impaired and blind people who were successful all over different parts of New Jersey, just as a component to encourage and inspire those who may have moments where they're feeling, you know, like they have a blindness or they have their vision loss and they don't know what to do. They've lost hope for whatever future their life is for. When they see this video, they'll see day-to-day people who have struggled but who have overcome those struggles and made a success out of their life.
All right. And sister, thank you for sharing that information. Again, if someone wants to get more information, you have a number or some other contact thing that you want to convey?
Well, I do have a telephone number as well as a website. My telephone number is 862-600-2144. My website is www.eyeslikemine.org. And we also have other social media sites, such as a YouTube channel, a Facebook page. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and Google+. And just a little note, when you do go to the Eyes Like Mine website, you'll see resources that you can tap into if you know any people who are suffering from vision loss.
Wonderful. Sister Crystal, thank you so much. And certainly we'll be able to get a report from you on the event after it happens. And also, you know, we'll keep our people updated on what you and your organization and those who you are working with, the kinds of things that you're doing, because these are the kinds of things that our people in particular need to know, that there are services available. So, again, we thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much again for having me and allowing me to share my information.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Okay, family, we are going to take just a quick break. We do have with us the architect, the artist that we spoke to you about earlier. We're going to talk with Mr. Rodney Leon, who, again, the unveiling for tomorrow's monument is going to happen at the United Nations, the Ark of Return, and we will return in a few moments. Okay, we want to thank Sister Crystal again for sharing with us the information about her event coming up this Saturday. And we want to remind you all again that you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi. And now we are going to go to our line, and we're going to talk again about tomorrow. Tomorrow is an International Day of Remembrance. And we're talking about remembering slavery, and particularly transatlantic slave trade. You know, it is so important that we always remember what has happened, because needless to say, if you don't understand the past, if you don't remember the past, and really comprehend the dynamics of it, certainly today and the future will not be as much as what we would want it to be, which, of course, brings us to the continual struggle for real freedom, real justice. With that said, we're going to go to our live line now, and we're going to bring in, again, tomorrow is the commemoration for the International Day of Remembrance of Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. An unveiling is going to occur tomorrow, and again, this will be historic, needless to say. And we have with us now the architect, the designer of the monument that will be unveiled tomorrow. We're talking about Rodney Leon, who is going to be joining us right about now. And family, we hope that you will
you know, pay close attention to what you're getting ready to hear, and also be able to take some notes, because you will, if you're not able to go to the unveiling tomorrow, you will be able to see it via live streaming. That's the one thing about technology today, even though we have our challenges with it. The other side is that we are oftentimes able to connect to some of the things that we need to connect to. So with that said, let us open up our mic and go to the live line. And joining us now should be Brother Rodney Leon. Brother Leon, are you with us? We have you here finally.
Yes, I'm here.
Great, great. Well, thank you for joining us for this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. I'm sure today or this evening is a very busy one for you.
Yeah, it's been quite a hectic day trying to prepare for tomorrow. Always a little last-minute things that we've got to tighten up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, again, we thank you. And please tell us a little bit about you and your agency, your firm.
Well, I'm an architect in New York City. I've been practicing for about 16 years on my own. I'm the principal of Rodney Leon Architects. And we were recently commissioned to design the memorial, permanent memorial at the United Nations for the victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. And we've been working on that project over the last year or so. And as you've told your audience, tomorrow is the unveiling of that project, and we're very excited about it.
What are some of the other works that you have created or have exhibited?
We have actually had similar projects in the past. I'm also the designer of the African Burial Ground Memorial, which is a national monument located in New York City that commemorates an 18th century slave burial ground where an estimated over 20,000 remains of slaves were uncovered in 1991 during excavation of a federal office building. Subsequently, the community rallied around that excavation site and were able to have it stopped so that that site could be commemorated properly. And there was a competition at the time. We were able to also win and construct that monument in 2007. So this is the second kind of historical and cultural monument in remembrance of African people that we've been able to be involved in our career. And we tend to get involved in also community architecture projects like churches and mosques and also community centers and not-for-profit organizations and affordable housing projects, those kinds of things.
Have you done any buildings or any kinds of projects outside of the U.S.?
We've also done some work prior to the earthquake in 2010 in Haiti. We've done work in Haiti, and subsequently we've done some significant humanitarian as well as post-earthquake work down there for a few years. And we have some ongoing projects down there, both for private clients as well as some planning work that we have done for the government. So we have done work overseas, and we look forward to doing some more work like that in the future.
What inspired the name, the Ark of Return? How did that come about?
Well, if you are familiar with Gori Allen in Senegal, there's a slave castle. Where if you visit that slave castle where so many of the people coming out of Africa were held in these kind of abominable conditions, there's a place called the Door of No Return where people were taken through never to return and brought onto these slave ships where they endured the Middle Passage, many of which did not survive that torturous journey, which often lasted many months. So we felt that it was important for us to be able to perhaps counteract that with a more positive counterbalance to that experience historically by creating an Ark of Return, which is a place that you pass through so that you can spiritually or psychologically not only become more whole, but begin to acknowledge the history of the past, come to terms with the impact that it has on us in the present, and then begin to think about how we can move forward into the future to make a transformation for ourselves as a global people. So this idea of an Ark of Return is inspired by this, also a ship and a vessel, but in this case it's about returning to a place that is much more holistic as a people.
Ashe. All right. So tomorrow, what's going on tomorrow? I know there's an unveiling. Tell us a little bit about that time and exactly where.
Yeah, it's going to be a series of events tomorrow. Interestingly enough, it's going to be also the three different events. The first event is the unveiling, which is going to take place at about 1:30, and it's going to end up continue all the way to about 3 o'clock on the General Assembly Entrance Plaza, which is on 46th mm-hmm. Street and 1st Avenue in New York and Manhattan. And we're going to have a commemoration ceremony, which is going to be inaugurated with some African dancers and drummers. And mm-hmm. after that, after the unveiling ceremony and the ribbon cutting, obviously there will be some dignitaries that are going to be giving some speeches commemorating that event. And then the drummers and dancers will then lead a procession to the General Assembly, where there's going to be a General Assembly meeting, and that General Assembly meeting is going to go from 3 to about 5:30. And mm-hmm. at that General Assembly meeting, there'll be a keynote speech by a woman from the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture who will be discussing the impact of slavery on women in the contemporary sense. And mm-hmm. after that, at the end of that particular event, the drummers will going to be giving a live performance, and then there'll be a third event in the lobby of the General Assembly building, which would be a kind of a reception. So there'll be it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be mm-hmm. a historic mm-hmm. event. And then from that point forward, the memorial would be accessible to the public for viewing and for visitation.
Okay, great. Now, of course, there are some portions of tomorrow that will be open to the general public, and then there are some that will not be. Where can one go to get information so that they know exactly the timing and location for various things?
Well, I think that the United Nations has put up on their website information. If you go to un.org, you'll be able mm-hmm. to get information more specifically on the history of the project, but also some of the events that are occurring. And I think the actual unveiling ceremony itself is going to happen in the public plaza. So there's a certain amount of reserve seating, but people that want to be able to come in as just general visitors can also come in. Mm-hmm. They'll be part of the witness of that history taking place.
Great. And what time, again, is the unveiling scheduled for?
It's scheduled for 2 to 3. However, I recommend people come around at least 1:30 because there's a security booth that you have to pass through. It's almost like going to the airport, mm-hmm. so you should give yourself at least mm-hmm. about 30 minutes to kind of like estimate time that it'll take maybe to pass through that so that you can get settled.
Great. And again, family, you will be able to see it live stream. I guess you can go to the website, un.org, to get the specifics on that, but it will be streamed live. So, you know, hopefully they'll also tape it, and you'll probably be able to see it that way as well. Okay. Do you have some? I know this is, like, happening now, but what are some of the future plans? Do you have anything lined up for the future?
Well, you know, one of my dreams is after this project is to work on a museum of African art and culture in New York City. And I've been working with a gentleman who has a collection which is extremely comprehensive, probably the most comprehensive collection of African art here in New York City, maybe in the whole country. And, we're working together, and we're thinking that, you know, we have a great site that we might be able to develop a project like that on. So, you know, after I take a little bit of a break after this project is over, I'm going to maybe start thinking about that project.
Wonderful. Before we go, let's see if we have a couple of callers who may have a question or something for you. Caller, if you do, you can press 1 now, and we certainly will take your question or your comment. This, again, tomorrow is going to take place at the UN, roughly between the hours of 2 and 3 o'clock, and you can go and get more information to get the specifics on the activities that are going to be going on there. You can just go to the UN website, un.org. Should be able to provide you with some additional information. Okay, I'm not seeing that anyone has a question or a comment, but I certainly do, and that is this. You know, the field of architecture, of course, is one where we don't see, many folks of African descent. You, as a black man in that field, what would you suggest that we can do to bring more of our people into that area, into that arena?
I think that it's an area that, since we are very creative people, that, you know, more of us should probably be involved in. And it's one of those things that deals with both the kind of like the left brain and the right brain, the creative side as well as the analytical side. And I think that starting early, kind of exposing a lot of young people to the potential career of an architect is probably the best thing that we can do. It's probably one of those things that is in some ways non-traditional insofar as people are not aware exactly what it is that we do on a daily basis. So we need to let the young people know that, you know, there's a career out there for them to get involved in terms of really taking their ideas about creation and developing their creative ideas in the built environment and leaving kind of like a lasting legacy and a presence and then taking control and taking ownership of your environment. I think it's something that a lot of people, most of us do when we're young in a natural way, and we kind of like lose that. But I think it's something that we should encourage and feel empowered to do. And that way we can begin to think about how we can start to transform our communities. And I think that becomes like a historical precedent that remanifests itself. I mean, because we do come from, you know, people that built civilization and kingdoms,
Persia,
Nubia, and Egypt, and other places. And then one of the wonderful things we should be able to do is to begin to show a lot of the young people, like especially the architecture of other countries where African people are building and developing and doing things that we don't often have the opportunity to do here. And it's in the seeing and the experience that people then become motivated and become inspired to become architects and engineers and builders once more.
What would you suggest be some of the, say, courses or other things that we would want to introduce some of our young students to in preparation for that field?
I would say like you should definitely be focused on developing your math abilities, geometry, trigonometry, algebra. You never lose the need for numbers because we're always measuring things and we're always drawing things using geometry. But at the same time, what's interesting is that it's all about ideas at the end of the day and being a creative individual and exercising like your creative talents, whether it's like playing music or painting or poetry or, you know, drawing and sketching, taking pictures, photography. All those things play a role in terms of like really being able to develop your right brain so that you can kind of then, you know, start to create spaces and then use your left analytical brain then to be able to develop the technical drawings and those kinds of things that help it to kind of stand up. So, you know, it's not one thing per se, but it's kind of like a lot of different things coming together to make it a more kind of like a holistic experience and a holistic education. But definitely, you know, you take some art classes and you take some, you know, design classes. You also make sure you do well in your math and your science, and I think you'll have an opportunity to do a lot of different things. And architecture is definitely one of those.
Okay. I can tell in listening to you that, of course, history and the connection to our people from a historical perspective has played a major role in some of what you've produced. That I'm just getting a sense of that. But on the other end of that, tell us, where are some of the institutions that you attended to get some of that other training?
Yeah, sure. I went to architecture school as an undergraduate in Brooklyn, New York at Pratt Institute School of Architecture, which is one of the oldest design institutions in the country. And I got my first architecture degree, which is a 5-year professional degree from Pratt. And then I subsequently got my master's degree from Yale University School of Architecture, which is a 2-year degree, post-professional degree. So that's essentially 7 years of undergraduate and graduate school education from the Northeast universities for architecture. And after that, you usually take about 3 years of a kind of internship period before you're allowed to sit for the licensing exam, and then you take the licensing exam in order to be certified as a practicing architect.
Wow. All right. All right, family. Well, you all hear it, and this is a way that we can begin to help prepare our young folks for the future, and that's why we wanted to share that information with you all, because it's important that we continue to build, again, as we connect to the past, and as this brother just indicated, you know, we have a great history of building, you know, so needless to say, you know, the future, we should be exhibiting those same kinds of things, and tomorrow you will be able to see some of that as well. Brother Rodney, tell us before you leave, where can we go, give us your website information and where people can connect with you if they are in need of an architect or some consulting or what have you. How can you be reached?
Well, we have a website at www.rodneyleon.com, and you can see some of the projects that we're currently working on and what we're working on in the past, www.rodneyleon.com. And I would encourage everybody also to spread the word about the project at the United Nations called the Ark of Return by having our Twitter hashtag Ark of Return. And I have my Twitter, which is at Rodney J. E. Leon. So that's hashtag Ark of Return and Rodney J. E. Leon.
Wonderful. And again, before we close out, we want to remind everyone that tomorrow is, of course, the International Day of Remembrance of Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. And if I did not mention, I would be remiss if I didn't, by saying that the theme for this year is women, slavery and women, okay? And so this being Women's History Month is more than appropriate. And, of course, with us being the largest gathering in the world, meaning the Million Women March, then, you know, we feel really connected to this year's theme, needless to say. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing the unveiling tomorrow, Brother Rodney, and we wish you all the best, and we thank you for your contribution and your work. And we look forward to connecting with you in the future because we got some projects we're going to ready to work on, too.
Great. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Very good. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Have a good night.
Peace to you. All right, family. Well, you heard it right here live at New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. You know, again, ancestors came through for us. We were having some technical difficulties, but we were able to bring you, again, the architect, the designer, of the monument that will be installed tomorrow at the UN, the Ark of Return. Wow. You know, this is what we love about what's going on with our ancestral guidance. We are always being placed and put into position to make certain that we have access to direct information for you, usually. And, you know, we're going to continue to do that. So we thank all of you for tuning in to this special edition of New Day. You know, we started out a little shaky there, but we ended up, you know, bringing you what we said we would, which again is Mr. Rodney Leon, Brother Rodney Leon, who tomorrow will be unveiling his latest project, The Art of Return. And in talking with him, you can kind of tell that, you know, again, he's in tune to a lot of things, particularly connecting the fact that, again, in which he mentioned the door of no return that many have seen and many will see in the future, Glory Island in Senegal. And now, you know, here we have something called the Ark Turn. And certainly many of us need to really consider returning to Africa, you know, if at least to go to see it, some portion of it. This is our homeland. This is what we call our motherland. And, you know, for real, if you don't connect with your mother, your real mother, then needless to say, the future will not be as fruitful and productive as it needs to be. And we're going to be talking more about the trip that we'll be planning to a few locations, Cuba being one, and certainly Africa in the future. We are definitely looking at doing some major things in Africa, which we told you about some months back. We are ready to move forward with some of that, and certainly we'll be able to give you some more information and updates on the progress that we have been able to make during the past few months in regard to our repatriation for some. And for some, our journey to our motherland. And again, that is something that everyone should experience in their life, because this will bring things to a more holistic and fruition kind of situation. But at any rate, family, we are going to move further on, and we are going to, again, thank all of you for staying in tune with us tonight as we weathered through some of the problems of our broadcast. But I think it was well worth it to hear the information that we were able to get with, of course, Brother Rodney Leon, and again, the Ark of Return for tomorrow. Again, you can see it online. If you cannot make it over to see the live presentation, it will be online, streamed live. You can go to un.org, and you should be able to just put in probably the Ark of Return or the International Day of Remembrance. That should be there, either one, and it should direct you to where you can go to see the live streaming. And then certainly once it's done, I know they're going to have it on YouTube, because usually any kind of major thing that happens at the UN, they end up putting it on YouTube as well. So that said, we're going to keep you abreast of what's going on. If you are in the Newark area, on April the 2nd, we will be doing a monthly Meeting of the Minds community meeting and MWM information reporting. That's going to take place in Newark on August the 2nd, April the 2nd, at the Newark Library, of course, that's 5 Washington Street. The doors open at 5 o'clock, and I'll be doing a press briefing, a media briefing at 6, which will let folks know about what we'll be doing in the future in Newark and the surrounding area as it pertains to the development of the Million Women Movement. And if you're here in Philly on March the 31st, we will be here in Philly doing a media briefing. This will be at the Black Writers Museum here in Philadelphia at Vernon Park. That's going to happen on March the 31st, the last day of so-called Women's History Month. We'll be making a special announcement about the upcoming National Black Women's Political Convention. The call for papers will go out officially on that day, as well as some other information. We are looking for somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 delegates or participants coming in for that convention for next year. 2016 will be holding the National Convention for Black Women, focusing on a new Black Women's agenda that we will be issuing right in time for that so-called presidential election. And for future elections on the local levels, there will be an agenda that will be available coming from sisters of African descent as well as our communities at large. We'll be talking at the convention about who to boycott and how, and we'll also be looking at other issues that are in our community that we've been talking about for a while, but perhaps haven't had a plan of action. Well, now there will be. So we'll keep you posted on that. Of course, our regular broadcast will be taking place on this Saturday, our regular time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We will give you more information about some of the upcoming events that we will have. And, oh, by the way, we want to remind you that we gave you earlier a couple of things. One was the question of, it was a question, but we answered it. Of course, that was in regards to the nation that the UN deemed as one of the worst nations when it came to women and the human rights violations. And again, that nation was identified as Israel. So what we're going to do on Saturday is to talk more about that, to really, you know, get your views on what do you think about that, meaning we hear so much about Israel in terms of, you know, other things that's relevant to what's going on in the global world political arenas, but this is the first time I think I've heard something to that extent or to that in that realm, meaning the treatment of women in Israel. We find that very interesting, of course, from our vantage point, since we are now bringing forward the national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. Now, I think it was the last year when I was at the UN, I did a brief presentation that talked about how the women, the black women, the African women, the melanated women who were living in Israel, because, you know, you do have what's known to some as the Falashas, the Jewish community that came from Ethiopia, Abyssinia, that reside or still in Israel or in that location. And I think it was last year when I was at the UN during the March session that they have every year, I was able to do a presentation that talked about what was happening with the women there and that they were being forced, they were being sterilized without their knowing. So that was one of the issues that we talked about last year. And, of course, the same thing is happening here in the U.S. Or has happened, and we're going to talk more about that also before the closing out of this month. Also coming up for Saturday, we're going to talk more about Million Women March Week. That'll be coming up in October of this year, and we have some really wonderful things that we're bringing forward for that, including a parade. We'll tell you about that on Saturday as well. And, of course, again, for Newark, we'll be kicking off what we call the Black Women's Power Conference. The first Black Conference, the Black Power Conference, took place in Newark in July of 1967. And so this year in July, we will hold a Black Women's Power Conference in recognition or commemoration of the first Black Power Conference that took place, and we'll tell you more about that on Saturday as well. So, family, what we're going to do is move forward, and again, we thank all of you for tuning in to this special edition of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. We're going to go, let me see, I think we might have lost Brother Juan Lee. I was going to go back to him to see if he has some closing comments for us, but I don't see that he's back in queue, which means we'll get him back later because, again, they just came back from Selma. And we want to, you know, kind of make sure that we got all the information that we wanted to get from him because that was kind of an interesting situation that happened with him and Brother G. Law when they ran into the Klan down there. And it seems like they're just recuperating from what they were able to see and experience. So we'll get him back on shortly as well. But at any rate, again, we want to remind you all again that March the 31st will be the official kickoff for papers. We will have a website up ready for you so that you will be able to get more information about next year's National Black Women's Political Convention. And, wow, all I can tell you is it is going to be powerful, okay? So, again, family, until next time, we hope that you will join us on Saturday. We will be black. And we will have a report on the unveiling of the Ark of Return, which is happening tomorrow. We have a report for you on Saturday and a few other things. So, until next time, we thank you again for tuning in. And you have been in tune to a special edition of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Till next Saturday or till our next program, we say Kamoja to the Shenda. Together we shall win. Thank you.